بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد, my brothers and sisters, we have all heard or read the story in the seerah where Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم went on the hill of Safa and he called the people wa subaha, and when the people came he announced to them and he said, leave the worship of idols and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, otherwise you will have and you will face a severe punishment. My question to you is this: if you were there at the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and if Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had asked you, if he had said to you, look, I have been given this mission of presenting Tawheed, presenting La Ilaha Illallah, presenting that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, tell me what is the best way to do that? How should I do it? If he asked your advice, what would you tell him? You know what I would tell him? I mean, this is my day job, advising people, right? What I would not tell him is to do it the way he did it. What would I tell him? I would tell him, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to me, you have two, maybe three options. One option is, get the political leadership of this place. Become the king. How will you become the king? Because you are from the best of the tribes. You are from Quraysh, you are from Banu Hashim, you are from the people who take care of the Kaaba, you are from the people who give the Hujjaj, you give them food and you give them water and so on. So you have a... There's a background to that. You're not somebody just out of anywhere. You have this. Then on top of that, you are the grandson of Abdul Muttalib, who discovered Zamzam and so on and so forth. You know, the story of the Ashabul Fil and all, everything is around Abdul Muttalib. So you have a claim. Get political leadership, become the king, become the president, become whatever. Then you announce your mission. So that's one option. Another route is through the route of social reform, because it was a society which was riddled with crime, which was riddled with immorality. The famous hadith of Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, she said that prostitution was so rampant and so accepted, it was not even considered to be a bad thing, it was so accepted that if a prostitute became pregnant, she would simply point to somebody and say, so and so. And notice I'm pointing to the sky, I'm not pointing to any of you. Say, so and so is the father of this baby, and the person would accept. Because other than some very few people, almost everybody used to indulge in it. So the chance, okay, fine. Maybe. There was not even any stigma or anything. This was normal. So, and there were many other things. There was alcoholism was rampant. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he himself said, if I had not become Muslim, I would have died of overdose of alcohol or I would have died in a fight. So alcoholism was rampant, prostitution was rampant. It was a very immoral society. So this was a very good route to take, because in that society there were people, for example, like Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, who never went near any of these things, and there were others like that. So this could be another route. So take the route of social reform, become a great social reformer, get yourself some traction, get yourself some, you know, people around you, and so on and so forth. Once you have enough of a support system, now you introduce this and say this goodness comes from Tawheed and so on and so forth. So this is another route, and there could be others. What I would not advise him to do was to simply go and stand on that hill. And he had previous experience, because he called it before this. He invited twice. He invited his own family, the Banu Hashim, to a meal, and he announced Tawhid. They walked out. So he knew. I mean, it was not as if he when he went on and stood on Safa, he was under some kind of mistaken impression. No. In any case, Rasulullah ﷺ was number one of the most highly intelligent human beings ever. And I'm not even saying that from my position as somebody who loves him more than I love my own self. I'm saying this from a very objective perspective. Here was a man who was known to be highly intelligent. He was doing this at the age of 40 in a time period when at the age of 15, you had people leading armies. We didn't have that was not the age when you referred to somebody between the ages of 17 and 25 as children. Muhammad bin Qasim, who brought an army from there all the way to your and my land, to Sindh, was 15 years old. He was commanding an army. So that was the kind of time period. Somebody 40 years old was, in terms of maturity, was way beyond anybody can imagine. And he did. Now, what was the result of that? The result of that was instant reaction. Instant reaction from hero to zero. From being the most beloved, the most respected, and so on and so forth. Immediately, almost instantly, he became everybody's enemy. Right, and we have all the stories of what Abu Lahab, Abu Lahab is his own uncle, Abu Lahab, and so on and so on. I'm just saying, why did he do that? And I'll tell you why. In all my study of Seerah, I've written two books on Seerah, or all my thinking of Seerah. The answer is very simple. The answer is, may Allah protect all of you. If, for example, if I'm sitting here, and I detect a lethal gas leak inside this room, what will I do? Will I say, okay, let's now have a committee discussion, we will all sit together, let's think about this, let us talk about the dangers of gas? Or will I say, everybody, move! Get out of this room! Which one? Now, if I say, everyone, move, get out, it's rude, it's impolite. But believe me, every single one of you will thank me outside this door. Because you will say, you saved my life. Yes or no? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did what he did, not because he did not know what he was doing, but because he was so intensely aware of the danger of somebody dying without Tawhid, without Islam. And as a leader, he had this internal, intrinsic urgency of every passionate leader to ensure that he did his best to save everyone. And he did that also to ensure that nobody ever has any doubts about his message. Absolute clarity with regard to the message. No wishy-washy, no talking here and there, around and round, and you know, sugar-coated solution and this and that, and oh, let me be nice to you, let me be sweet to you, and so on. At the end of the day, you start scratching your head. Yeah, you know what? This was a very good bayan, a very interesting. Well, what was he saying? What did he really mean? Yeah, that's true. I mean, I should not be doing all this, worshipping graves and whatnot, but I mean, is it really that serious? Okay, everybody, my grandfather did it, and so on, my father did it, mother did it, whoever did it. Is it really so bad? If you read the history and then the stories of Anbiya alayhi salam, this is one thing which is common to every Nabi. They stated the principle of Tawheed, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, and in the case of Anbiya alayhi salam, but the others, La ilaha illallah, they stated that principle absolutely clearly, without any wishy-washy, without any ambiguity in that. Very clear. Because setting boundaries is the biggest service that any person can do for any other person. Especially parents and teachers. These are two roles where setting boundaries is the primary purpose of parenting and of teaching. Today in our world, we get very confused. So, no, you should not do that. You should be very nice to the children and so on. And they should be your friend and I am your friend and you are my friend. I'm not saying be nasty to the children. I'm not saying beat them. I'm not saying kick the kid so that he bounces off the wall and off the ceiling and you know, does three trumps on the... No, be nice to them. Be very sweet to them. But with boundaries, be absolutely clear. I tell parents, I say that your children have many friends, but they have only two parents. Don't get confused. Your primary role is as a parent, not as a friend. You are also a friend. But your primary role is parent. Your primary role is teacher, not friend, teacher. And the role of the teacher and the role of the parent is to set the boundaries. Make it absolutely clear. This is right and this is wrong. There is no confusion. This is the message of the Anbiya alayhi salam. This is the reason why Rasulullah did it the way he did it. Absolute clarity. Yes, there was a price to pay. Yes, there was initially unpopularity. Yes, there was initially difficulty and so on and so forth. All of that is part of the role. You don't like the role, don't do it. Leave it. But don't spoil the role by becoming wishy-washy, by diluting it, by sugarcoating it and, you know, creating confusion. No. Absolute clarity with regard to boundaries. This is right, this is wrong. Khalas. Yes, all this will be there initially. But what is the result? The result today is that 1 in 4 in this world is a Muslim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. 1 in 4 is a Muslim. And even the non-Muslim, you go and ask them, do Muslims worship idols? What will they say? They will say no. So the message is clear, even to the one who's not doing it, he knows that Muslims do not worship idols, that Muslims worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to enable us to learn from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set for us as the best possible example for all of us and all of humankind. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to enable us to do our duty, which is to be the messengers of the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to carry the message with as much integrity as he did sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to use this as the means of shafa'at from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of judgment to save us from the hellfire. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.